Everybody good? Lisa, how are you doing? Okay. Camp registration is open. Brochures are available in Connection Corner. If you've got kids that need to go and want to go, keep in prayer. The 413 mission trip is coming up so quick, June 11th. That's like next week.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks.
It's a week from
tomorrow's the first, right? 11 days away then.
Yeah.
Also, we're having a Christian ventriloquist here at 7 o'clock. We don't have the date. Oh, the 14th of June. That's coming up quick too then. That's not this Wednesday.
It's 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today. So don't want to forget that. Oh, next Wednesday night, we are having pulled pork.
What?
Not ice cream. Pulled pork. Everybody will come.
We're Jewish.
We're having pulled pork. Yeah. I hear you. Anyway, I guess they're going to have like sliders or something, whatever they call those. Wonder why they named them that, because they're small enough you can just stuff them in and put them down. Slide them in. Kids are going to love it. I'm going to love it. I think, Neil, are you the one making all that?
Yes.
Filling your freezer up with pulled pork. All right. Hey, we're going to finish up on James tonight. There's 20 verses in the last, and the last seven verses we're going to finish up. But first, I'm going to back up and preview, because the more I preview, what do you call it?
Preview.
What's a preview?
Preview is what's going to come.
Okay. Pulled pork's a preview. I got it. We're going to review. We're back. James. Actually, the word James there should be Jacob. There's not even a Greek word, James. They think that the word James come in when they did the first King James Version. So they named, instead of having Jacob, it's James. So it's actually the book of Jacob. It was written between 48 and 62 A.D. after Christ's death, was written after the destruction of the Jerusalem church, or before the destruction of the Jerusalem church. That happened in 70 A.D. And in James, in chapter 4, we'll get into it a little bit, he knew the destruction was coming by what Christ had spoke to him in Luke 21. And he prophesied basically what was going to happen to the church. And in chapter 4, he talks about that a little bit. The church was 3,000 to 5,000, which is big numbers when you talk about the population it was back then. But I like James because it reminds me of Proverbs. And Proverbs, something you might want to do if you're a studier and want some wisdom, every day of the year, read that particular book. Like tomorrow, read Proverbs 1 and just start the month over, and every month read Proverbs the day that you're in, because you get so much insight on the area of wisdom of how to live. Well, James is actually the same kind of book with a little bit more cutting edge to it. He gets down pretty heavy in some of the chapters, but it's all great. Chapter 1, he starts off by telling, he talks about the struggles and temptations of life and what goes on, and I love it because he says, count it all joy. Probably one of my favorite scriptures is in there, because if we can count everything joy, no matter what's going on in our life, absolutely your day is going to be better. You're going to walk in more peace. And I don't care what, we've all walked through a lot of different things. And if you count it all joy and watch what God's going to do with it. Let me give you a real quick praise report. Christopher was talking to me today, and you all know if you've been here at church, he's in prison. And they've got him as a social worker now with 11 other men now, doing a program reaching out to the inmates that are coming into the prison. And this has been going on for about a year now, maybe. But the success rate is unbelievable what's going on. Well, one of the Wisconsin colleges have been monitoring this, and they are now going to write a big paper on it because they've seen such a change in the whole penitentiary over what's going on. So Chris was pumped today. That's one of those count it all joys, because how easy is it to count all joy when your son gets put in prison for something he didn't do? But in the midst of all of this that he's going through, there's lives being changed, and now they're talking about now taking this and send, and it's going to be a published report that's going to go out on this whole thing. And Chris, what's neat about it is Chris is right in the middle of it, and Chris is the one that wrote up the program for the whole program, computer program. So it's, we're excited about what's going on. But he was pumped today. He called me three times talking about it. So it's going to be a pretty big deal. So as soon as the publication comes out, he's going to get a copy to me. So I'm anxious to read it and see what's going on. But he said that the percentage change in men going back to prison has dropped drastically to the point they recognize. The ones that have come through there and went through the counseling that they've had, if they come back, they come back a different person. They come back for a different thing, and there's a major change in them. He had one young man that cut himself all the time. He had it personally. Had one that cut himself all the time, and then he would be in for so long, and then he would go back, and then he would come back, and he would still be doing the same thing. Well, he got saved through the program, and now his whole life has completely changed. So that's the kind of stuff that's in this article. So count it all joy. It's an awesome thing to see what God's doing. Then in that same chapter, count it all joy, back to where we're at, he says if you need wisdom, if you need an answer to a problem, this one I think in this study has hit me the most, this particular one. If you need help, ask. And then he comes right back and says, and I will give you the answer. Well, I've seen that, you know, I've been doing this for years, but I've got a better revelation on that now because I've seen that absolutely take place in my life. And I shared maybe last week, the week before, I had a situation going on and I needed an answer just recently. And I needed an answer. And instead of just getting an answer like you feel it in your heart and you think he spoke to you, I had an actual dream with the people that was involved in it in the dream, and the answer was in the dream. Now, I love that. That was pretty cool. You know, and you woke up and you knew that you knew that you knew that God had ordained what just took place. And I had the answer. And when I put the answer to work, everything straightened up just like that. Amazing. But that's what he wants out of us. You know, backing up all the way back to Adam and Eve, the tree that they weren't supposed to eat was the tree of good and evil. He didn't want you and I to even know good. All he wanted you and I to do was what he told you to do.
Obey.
And that's what he's wanting to in this particular situation. He says, you need an answer? Don't go looking for it. Just ask me for it and I will give it to you. And then it goes on and it says, but then be wise and don't doubt. And do what I tell you to do. And just follow the direction I give you to go and watch how it straightens out. It's almost the way it is. It's a guarantee if we'll do it. We just got to learn to do the word. Chapter 2 then talks about he gets pretty hard against those that are prejudiced. He gets pretty hard against those that are discriminate. He hits pretty hard against those that you think, well, just because they're poor and dirty, they don't need Jesus or they don't have Jesus. You can't judge that. I'll never forget the first trip I made to Mexico. They were happier people than we were and had nothing at all. It's amazing. So he got on pretty heavy. And then in that same chapter, he told you not to have faith, but you got to have faith with works. You've got to do something. And he brought up the story of Rahab, the prostitute. Here we've got a prostitute that obeyed God and had more faith than most because she did what God told her to do, help the spies get away. So in those two chapters, there's a lot goes on there, and faith without action is dead for any of us. We can say we love Jesus, but if you don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we're wondering if you're even in touch with Jesus. Because if you're in touch with Jesus and you have a relationship with Jesus, then you're not going to walk out of the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to pursue walking in the fruit of the Spirit, pursue peace, pursue joy, and walk in all the things that you can. Lisa right now is going through a major, major, major adjustment in her life, but I can tell she's doing just what's going on here. She's going, I need help. Have you had those times where you just cried out to God? Oh, absolutely. I've been there. For a while, it's almost every minute. But God's God, and he's going to take care of us. And that's what's so good about the book of James. You want to just read a book and just stay in it. Just read James over and over and over. There's so much in it. And chapter 3 then, that one's a killer for all of us. Because if you really study chapter 3 and you really get a revelation of chapter 3, chapter 3 talks about what we do with our mouth. Chapter 3 talks about the destruction you can do with your mouth, but it also talks about the good you can do with your mouth. And if you flip the rudder like on a ship one way, eventually the corner's going to be made and you're going to make a turn. But you've got to do it with your mouth, and you've got to recognize that you've got to get a hold of what you say. There is so much power in what we say. So much power in what we say. And then what happens is, when we speak something, see, the enemy has no authority whatsoever. None. The devil cannot touch any of any of us. He cannot. But he can if you speak it.
That's right.
Because the Bible says you get what you say. And the devil knows that. So if you use your mouth wrongly against someone, say something about someone, criticize your wife, criticize your husband, criticize your neighbor, gossip, carry on. All of that can be used by the enemy because you made the comment and you made the statement. And he knows the word. The enemy does. And he knows that if you judge with those words, then you can be judged. And he can be the one that can get on top of you. We wonder sometimes, well, all this stuff happens in our life. Well, we're in a cursed world. We know that. And everything doesn't happen because of what you say. But you can set yourself up. Well, what you do is, what you talk, where you talk, and how you talk is where you're going. Then you can back up farther that we know it says that what you talk comes from the abundance of your heart. So if your heart's not right, you're not going to speak right things eventually. It's just going to come out. It always does. Always does. But he also talks about not being double-minded. It's like a wave in the sea. You're gaining nothing if you speak here and speak here and speak here. I remember a man that I knew that it didn't matter what someone was talking about, they agreed with them. Then they could turn right around. I've seen it happen more than once. This man would turn right around and talk to somebody else that felt totally different, and they agreed with them. Well, where is this guy going to ever get anywhere? Because he's double-minded. And then in that double-mindedness, he talks double-minded. And as you talk double-minded, then you're totally confused and you're not going to gain anything. Then chapter 4, he gets pretty down on you in chapter 4. He talks about your own selfishness, where it's going to take you in your life. Problems in life come from what? From our own desires, is what James says. If you get into a fight with someone, you got yourself there. Because what happened is, you wasn't getting your way. So you was arguing your point. It's one thing to have an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. But if we're getting angry, if we're losing it, if we're getting a temper, if we're getting mad, something's wrong. And it's not with the situation, it's with you. It's with me. If I get angry at someone, and I'm like everybody, we have those opportunities all the time. All the time. I had a couple things went on this week that I was very disappointed, and I thought, and I wanted to rise up, you know, and then I remembered what I teach. And I thought, no, this is God's. If he can't take care of it, if he doesn't take care of it, then who am I to even bother about it? And I just got to let it go and give it to him and come to that place of recognizing he owns our life. He's got us. Once we said yes to Jesus, he has us. He guarantees we're going to heaven. So if he's guaranteeing me I'm going to heaven, then he's never, ever, 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 ever going to stop working on me. Now, he's not got his thumb on me. He's always telling me the right thing to do. And in the case this week that come up, this week's not been very long. This has been these 3 days. When it come up, and I felt myself rising up, wanting to take a hurt and an offense on the situation, and I said, no. I am not going there. I'm going to let God have this, and if it's not supposed to be, it's not supposed to be. If it is supposed to be, he'll turn it around. And if he don't turn it around, I wasn't supposed to be where I was supposed to be. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But we got to get a hold of that, and we got to recognize that our own selfish desires cause us to fight. So why fight? Connie and I settled this way back. And I've told you, you've all heard me say this. We come to a place where I'm not changing you. Quit trying to change me. And vice versa. And we had a wonderful marriage because of that. And if everybody would just live that way and enjoy each other, it's crazy how we get married and we're having so much fun and it's so exciting. Oh, and then all of a sudden we want them to be different. And we married them like that. So why don't we just accept them and let God change them? Any amens from anybody?
Amen.
Some are saying, I'm just not getting married again. And I understand that if you've had a bad marriage. But if you do it scripturally, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, if I can marry any woman in this house, if they're available, if they will do this and I will do this, it'll be fantastic. But that's not the way the world has raised us. They want us to change everybody. They want us to satisfy our flesh all the time. The list goes on and on. But fact is, that's what causes the problem. But we got to recognize, in that same chapter, he talks about, hey, if you don't walk in grace, and if you don't humble yourself, you'll not have any grace. If you don't come to the place of recognizing that you need to be meek and you need to be humble, then that's where you've got to stay, meek and humble. What is meek? Meek is not weak. Meek is recognizing that he's got the answer. Meek is going back to the chapters before. I need help here. What do I do to fix this? I need help here. How do I take care of this problem? I'm telling you, after this study maybe didn't help you all. This has been a life changer for me this time. Because I have seen things in my life that I've read it, but I haven't got a handle on it, that I've got handles on it. And how's that happen? By humbling yourself and saying, you don't know anything. My favorite line now is, I know in part. I said it a while ago. Me and Josiah was going back and forth, having fun. And I said, you know in part. And he thinks he knows. How old are you now?
24.
24, he knows everything. I'm 72 and don't know anything. And he said, what did you say to me? How do you respond to that? God's got that one. But that's what I'm talking about in this. We got to recognize, I don't care who you are or how much you think you know. One of the smartest men now is Elon Musk. He still knows in part. It's a guarantee. He may be highly intelligent and doing fantastic stuff, but he still knows in part. This is where the truth is at. This is the only truth. The Holy Spirit that lives in you has got all the truth. And this book is just simply saying, wake up and let me lead your life and watch how good it'll be and watch how great it'll be. And come to that place, you know, and then at the very end of chapter 4, he basically just gets right down on top of it. Listen, you plan the day, but don't plan it in such a degree that you think that everything you do is going to happen. I'm the one that directs the day. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to make plans, and I do have. Thursday's my day off, and I always have plans. But I can guarantee you it will not go according to my plan. And I've got to know not to be upset, just go with the flow. Have a plan. Be flexible. Because God's got a purpose for me wherever I'm going to be, if I open my heart to it and listen to him. And as you look at this book of James, all the way back to the very beginning, count it all joy. Tomorrow might be a day where you've got something planned, and then you see that it's totally changed. Well, there's no sense getting distraught about it. Just go to chapter 1 And count it all joy. And then if it's not what you want, just ask how I can fix this and what's the answer to this. And you go on and on down this chapter and direct your life so good. Chapter 5, he starts off pretty heavy. He talks about what the love of money will do to you and those that love just money, what it'll do to them. And during that particular chapter, he was prophesying what took place with Jerusalem as far as the destruction of Jerusalem. He was telling them in the church, hey, listen, you all out there that think you've got it all together and you think you've got all the money you need and you're not taking care of the people that work for you, that's all going to come crashing down just here shortly is what he was saying. And if you keep your mind on just the money, you're not going to make it. You've got to recognize, and he really was pretty hard-hearted on them and told them they were just fattening themselves up for slaughter. That's pretty tough words. So if you're at the place of all you're thinking about is how much money you can make, and nowadays, look how much it takes to even make it. I never thought we'd ever get to this day and age. I come from the grocery store yesterday, had 3 bags in my hands. $61. I can't even imagine feeding a family like the Derricks are feeding right now. You've got to be herding cattle up and butchering them on your own to make it. I mean, I can't even imagine. But we're in that day and age, but that is not where our heart's supposed to be. God will supply and take care of us. And that's where you've got to really turn to him and say, okay, I've only got, now give me wisdom and go back to the chapters I'm talking about here. Lord, we don't have enough money to make it. What do we do? What do we need to adjust in our life? And really, Chris and I was talking about this. Where is your happiness supposed to be? In the Lord. And without the money, you lose a lot of the frills that come along with the money. And it makes it harder times. But bottom line, I'll never forget down in Mexico, those little kids were living in cardboard and come out with their little dresses on and perfectly clean and just as happy and having such a good time. And then we're complaining because it's hot. You know, we've got to come back to the place of recognizing relationships come, relationships go, people come, people go, and our love has to be in him. That's like the loss of my wife, the loss of Carl. If your happiness was in him alone, then you're going to be in trouble. Same with me. Now, I struggled because of the loneliness and I missed her, but my happiness wasn't in her. We had decided that a long time ago. My happiness had to be in him. And she was just an added feature in my life. It's the same with this church. If everything's about this, we got to hold everything we got just like this. Because everything we got can just disappear overnight and be gone. And just be gone, be gone, be gone. But chapter 5 then, he comes pretty heavy on that. And then, verse 12 then in the midst of, or verse 7 through 8 in the midst of that, he talks about those that are on the bad side of things, those that are suffering, those that are being abused. And he was talking about the rich people not giving the money to the poor that needed it, wouldn't pay them their wages. He also then said, you that are suffering, you that are going through hard times, any of us that are going through a rough time, and life isn't good, this particular chapter, he said, listen, your trust has to be in me. And take your problems to me and let me have your problem. And then he ends verse 12 there and he says, and to make things even better, let your integrity be your way in life. You ever recognize how nice things would be if everybody would go back to integrity? I've got a Tesla. It's a 22. And I've been getting a paper document. Got Tesla written in it. And my Model 3, your warranty, you didn't sign the paperwork and your warranty is up. And then as I looked at that and read that, I keep getting them. And I open it up. Doesn't have any serial number in my car. Not really from Tesla. What is it? It's a lie.
That's right.
Neil had it happen to him today. he was trying, they called and said that we could get electricity for half of what we're paying. Mm-hmm. And Neil listened to him, and he's very good at negotiating. He said, okay, we had a 5-year contract with somebody, and can you break that? Yes, we can break that for you. And how long a contract is? Oh, it's only a month. So he said to the lady that was negotiating, you mean you want me to drop a 5-year contract for this low rate for a month? What about the next month? Well, I can't give you the answer to that.
Oh, geez.
What happened to our integrity? It's in almost everything now. You get phone calls and they lie to you. Politicians lie to you. And he's saying in here, another thing in the Proverbs, the wisdom that's in this book is amazing. He's saying to us, hey, in all this we're going through and all this suffering you're going through, if you walk in integrity, I will direct your life. If you walk in integrity, I will honor you. I will honor the truth. He always does. He always does. I have a notion to take this paper that I've got and call them and let them throw their spiel and then say, you are the biggest. I know who your father is. I do. Yeah, I know you're just playing the game with him, but you're part of this. Your father is the devil himself. He's a liar. You think they'd stay on line very long? Probably not. But this has got to end. This has got to end, and it's going to. We're going to get raptured out of here. Maybe tonight. That'd be all right with me. Let's go. James 5:13. This is where we left off last week. I want to read. We're in Passion Bible. It says, are there any believers in your fellowship suffering great hardship and distress? Encourage them to pray. Are they happy, cheerful among you? Encourage them to sing their praises. What's that first verse saying? That first verse is saying, whatever you're going through, pray. Now, this is the end of the chapter. This is the end of the book. And he's give you direction. He's give you wisdom. Now, he's wrapping it up with these last statements. And he's saying, if you've got people that are suffering and going through a hard time, tell them to pray. If you got people that are happy, go along with their praise, which is prayer. Actually, prayer is praise. I don't know if you all knew that. Prayer's not whining to God. Prayer's not begging God. Prayer is thanking God for the answer. Prayer is praise. Prayer is praising that the answer is right here and you quote it back to him. I don't care what you're going through. Prayer is the answer. It is always the answer. Always, always, always the answer. Verse 14 says, are there any sick among you? Then ask the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The Greek word there for sick is actually weak. And some of the commentators are saying they're not just talking about physical sickness here. The church is supposed to be a hospital. We're supposed to be here to encourage people. We're supposed to be here to help people walk through things. So when things are going bad, come in agreement. Come to the leadership. Come to other people in the body and come to them with your problem, not a whining problem, but will you agree with me that I can get through this? I'm weak right now. This is tough on me. Stand with me. It's amazing how much better you feel. Lisa, I hate to keep going back to you, but I know what you're going through. She doesn't need your sympathy. She just needs your prayer. She just needs the strength that prayer gives. She knows she's going to make it. She knows the word. But yet, in the midst of that, you still have to have people patting you on the back and encouraging you. And that's what church is all about. That's why your heart breaks when you see people that come to church once in a while, when in fact, the more you're here, the more you get to know people, the more you get encouraged, the more you feel better. You leave feeling good. You're on top of it. And then you go down because you're by yourself or you're going through your problems. But then you get back to the people that you love and they encourage you. That's what relationship's about. That's why the relationship with the Father is so good. I don't like religion. I like to talk to him. I talk to him all the time. I mean, it's just an ongoing, if I'm not quietly to myself, it's out loud. And I talk to him all the time. And since I'm home a lot by myself, I'm talking a lot. Teddy thinks I'm talking to him, but I'm not talking to that idiot dog. Because he can't answer me. I get that. I'll tell Donna. I've been seeing Donna. I'll tell Donna what I said to Teddy, and she'll always say, "Did he answer you?" He don't answer, folks. But he does. And think about, I'm pointing there, but he's actually right here. He's inside of us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives right here. So when I need an answer, I don't have to, it's right here. I just have to be quiet and hear him speak and then do what he says to do and follow what he says. And this is just an example of, man, you're going through a hard time, just pray, just pray, just pray. And it goes on and it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick or heal the weak, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they committed sins, they will be forgiven. And I always question why that was in there. That is in there because a lot of the Jewish belief was that if you've got any type of sickness, it's because you were in sin. And he said this saying, basically, you're praying, you're forgiven. Don't worry. I mean, you may have made mistakes, but so did I. But God's a forgiving God. Jesus, listen, folks, I don't care what you did today or what you're going to do tomorrow, you are already forgiven. Now, that's not cheap grace. That's just God doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as a saint. And he's already forgiven you, so he's just wanting you to walk through the Bible and learn and get the wisdom that he's got for your life. And he's wanting you to start bearing fruit and bringing other people to Christ. That's all you're here for, is to bring other people to Christ. It's not about you. It's about you touching other lives by living that route and walking that route. Down in verse 16, it says, I love this. Confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. You've all done this. There's nothing better than when you've had something on your heart. Something's wrong with you, you made a mistake, or they made a mistake, and you finally get together, and you talk it through, and when you talk it through, and it's released, you feel totally different. It's like it's off your shoulders. That's what this is talking about. Think about times you've had a heavy, you've said something to somebody, and you've hurt them, and so it hurts you because you hurt them, and you finally went to them, and you cleared it with them, and you talked the situation out, and what's awesome about it, if you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you automatically have already forgiven them, but once they've released it, and you told them it's going to be okay, that's where it's supposed to be, and then that's why marriages can be so strong, if you just learn to forgive each other and love each other for whatever you're going through. Not separate. Walk through it. Talk through it. You got to communicate. You got to communicate. If you don't communicate, it will never work. You've got to communicate. That's what this is all about here. I want to read that again. Confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Power of prayer. This whole last few verses is talking about what can take place in the power of prayer. God will take care. He's a guaranteed. He will do it for you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Verse 17 and 18. Let me read it together. Elijah, he's talking about prayer. Now, Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like all of us, but he prayed and received supernatural answers. He actually shut the heaven over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. I think somebody prayed over Southern Illinois. Then he prayed again, and the skies opened over the land so that the rain came again and produced harvest. He shared in there how much power is in prayer. Elijah was just like you and I. Had his frailties just like you and I. Made mistakes just like you and I. But he had a relationship with the Father. And in that relationship, they talked and they communicated. And he was directed by the power of the Holy Spirit to block the rain. He wouldn't have prayed that out of abuse. God told him. God gives you the desires of your heart. God gives you the things that you... God's in the middle of all that goes on. And he said, all right, we got a situation here. You need to pray so the rain will stop. I won't stop unless somebody prays. But he used him, and Elijah prayed. And the, could you imagine living somewhere where it didn't rain for 3.5 years? We've been out of rain for, what, 2.5 weeks? 3 weeks? My grass not even growing. Praise the Lord, but... 3.5 years? And it said, it's funny how it said, then he prayed and it rained. But how long would it take after that for the ground to get good enough to bring a harvest? But yet it did. Yet God got another one of God's deals. He has a seed and all it does is get in the ground and it works. He does it all. What an amazing God. Verse 19 and 20, to close it out, it says, finally, as members of God's beloved family, we must go after one who wanders from the truth and bring him back. For the one who restores the sinning believer back to God from the error of his way gives back his soul, life from the dead, and covers over countless sins by their demonstration of love. Very, very, very powerful set of scriptures here. You know people that have walked away from the Lord, just slowly stepped away. And once you get away, it's amazing how you get drawn and you get drawn and you get drawn. And then you think everything's okay with you, that person does, but in reality, they've slid away from God. Well, you want to love them back, and you want to just, you don't judge them. You just love them back in, and you just forgive them. And what's it say there? I love how it says it in this particular translation. And it says, gives back his soul, mind, will, and emotions. When you're away from the Lord and not doing the things of the Lord, your mind, your will, and your emotions are in turmoil. They're never at peace. They're never at rest. And I'm not talking about being a blatant sinner. I'm just talking about not being in contact and not being in relationship. Nothing works without relationship, folks. Nothing. And if you don't have a relationship with the Father who directs everything in your life, you won't make it. If I didn't have a relationship with Neil, if I didn't have a relationship with John and Jenny, if I didn't have a relationship with Richard, if I didn't have a relationship with Holly who cleans the place, if we didn't have a relationship and communicate, think about it. I mean, you wouldn't even know what each other needed. You wouldn't even know the desires of each other. You wouldn't. John answers the phone and I hear him. And I hear him sometimes talking, and he knows me well enough that he don't even have to ask me. He answers the person how I would answer the person. How does that come about? By relationship. And that's the same with this. This whole book of James is nothing but showing you how you can build a relationship with the man that knows everything. With the man that's man. With the Father, with God that's got every answer to your life, with God that's got, he tells me, he says, count it all joy, I'm going to take care of you. Ask, I'll give it to you. I'll give you the answer. Now don't be double-minded, just do it. Now, keep in line, stay sanctified with me and keep doing the best you can do. Just keep doing the best you can do, that's good. Now settle your mouth, get your mouth in line with what I've taught you. Keep your mouth going, and as you do that, your life will be directed. Now quit being discriminatory, quit being, you're not God, quit judging. Now at the end of all this, pray. It's really pretty simple. I'm telling you, your life will change if you start taking everything to the Father and knowing he's going to answer you and know that he's wanting you to get your heart right and know that he wants you to speak right and know that you just follow the basic principles. It's just like he made gravity. You know, Anybody that would say there's not a God, can I just say this politely? They got a screw loose. I mean, all we have to do is go up about 52 miles and there's no gravity. And you can travel 17,152 miles an hour and not feel it. You can go around the earth at 252 miles. You can go around the earth in 93 minutes. You can see 16 daylights and darks in a day. And there's not a God? And he made me, and there's not a God. And he made you, there's not a God. He's got the answer right here. And all we have to do is just trust him and follow him and just talk to him and have a relationship. And it's the same in our lives. You're having trouble with people? You have to pray. Talk to them. Communicate. Ask how they're doing. Get listen to their opinion. Don't give your opinion. We're always wanting to give our opinion. Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you that you knew us so well you had to put it in writing so that we would get it. And then we don't even want to read it. Father, we ask that you just, you're the one that's got to draw us in. And we thank you that you're going to draw us tighter and tighter with you. We thank you that just the book of James that's in here, the book of Jacob, Father, gives us so much wisdom that if we just live by that, we would live better and better and we would be healthier and healthier and wiser in the things we say and do. We trust in you, Lord, in everything. We thank you for all that's been taking place around about this building, all the seed that's getting planted in the young people, Father. And we thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed.